Houston standing by. Over.
Jeremy and Joe starts now
on ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
Hello, Houston. It's Joe. I'm Jeremy. We're Jeremy and Joe. Ryan's here. Thursday edition. This week's gone by fast. To just be here. I could have sworn today was a Wednesday.
I feel that.
It feels like a Thursday. I mean, it feels like a Wednesday.
It feels like a Wednesday, but it is a Thursday.
It's amazing that it feels like today it is.
I forgot my Neuro gum in the truck again.
Again?
Yeah. I usually keep it in my backpack, but I ran out, and I haven't replaced it. And I got my reinforcements in the glove compartment, where I keep other things, too. I am knackered today.
I don't know what it means, so.
I am. I just want to be honest with you.
I don't think I use my glove compartment for anything meaningful. It feels like there'll be some napkins I throw in there. There's like the car manual I never look at. And like I never go in there.
Yeah, I've learned the lesson the hard way.
Oh, how so?
I had my car title in there and he had my car stolen.
Oh, yeah, that's not great.
Yeah.
That's tough.
But I actually didn't need the car title anymore because they couldn't find it. So... I mean, net zero?
Yeah, that's a net zero.
I mean, it happened years ago. You know, that's a long time ago. We're not crying over spilt milk. But no, I mean, if a car gets stolen why do I need the title now?
You're right, because the car's gone.
Yeah. I don't need the title for a car that is gone. It's probably in Mexico somewhere.
Probably. Or chopped up.
With that cartel.
And I'm Mexico.
Good luck with that.
You know.
Never get nothing.
Did you see some of these videos?
Yeah, it's terrifying.
Was it, I think a video I saw at a Costco parking lot where everything was on fire?
Was that the gasoline place?
Maybe.
The one that I saw that was like, oh my goodness, was like a gasoline place where like they ran up on people.
Yeah.
And like, go, go, go. And people are like, I don't want to go. And they're like, go. So they have like guns. And then they take out the gas, the gun from the tank. And then they start, you know, spraying it everywhere. And then they light it on fire. Some gangster stuff right there.
It is. I'm glad.
Literally.
I couldn't imagine being like one of the people at like the resorts.
I know.
Right now.
I'd be so scared. Like
you're kind of stuck, but you also kind of have to leave.
Are flights coming in and out or not? Or I don't know.
At one point they stopped. I don't know if they've restarted or not.
Yeah. That's scary.
Yeah.
They were like running into the airports and stuff. People were in the airports. That's the scary stuff, man.
It's no bueno.
Very scary stuff. Some bad hombres right there. Lots to get to today. Gerard Johnson has been... They say it's a mutually parting of ways, so we'll get to that in a little bit. I watched all 35 minutes of the Toro District presentation.
Really?
I did. It was actually highly entertaining. I can't pass an opportunity to listen to my favorite person in Houston.
I know you
Calvin
can't,
Harris
but it's
speak. Never.
I mean,
never
how can I pass that
quit.
Up?
But it's 35 minutes.
Well,
it
wasn't 35
back.
Straight minutes of Cal. They had different speakers. They had Cal and Hannah. They had Vandermeer MC in the thing. He was like, rock and roll. Here's Hannah and Cal, the McNairs. And then he had, they had like the guy for Howard Hughes. They had like the precinct commissioners. And then they had the Tobin guy.
Okay.
He was like, here's
I do
what
not
you
know
expect.
This man.
You know the Tobin guy? The
Tobin
president
guy.
Of, the president of the Texans?
I mean, do you know him?
Jeff Tobin? Yeah.
Oh, okay. Oh, now you said his first name. Now I believe you know him.
He got hired. Like he was hired.
Yeah,
he
but
replaced,
he went with Tobin guy.
Yeah, I mean.
He replaced that one guy that they fired. No, there was like a succession of people. There was Jamie Rhodes.
I like that show.
He's no longer with us, sadly.
Yep.
Was it David Fletcher?
I think it was
David Fletcher.
Fletcher runs Lone Star Sports Entertainment. I don't know if he also was a team president.
Which was the president that they fired? They fired that guy to hire this guy because this guy's good at like getting stuff done. Like new arenas,
the stadium
new stadiums, headquarters.
Yeah. Also his name's Mike.
Mike Tobin?
Yeah. Tobin.
What did I say?
Jeff
Tobin.
That's close enough.
Not
really. I didn't even know he existed.
No. It doesn't matter.
I had most of his name right.
You not can't really. Claim to know him if you got both his names wrong.
I know who he is.
Jeffrey Brenham.
No, that's not. See, he knows who
Jeffrey
I am.
Jeffrey Brenham.
I mean, like that's.
No, that's. I know who he is.
Not really.
Greg Grissom was the president.
You said you guys don't know who he is, and you butchered his first and last name.
I'm over
trying
here
to dunk on us.
David
you don't
Fletcher.
Know his name.
I know who he is. And I was very close to knowing his name.
You might know who he is, but you weren't close.
Yes, I was.
No.
Yeah, you weren't close.
Tobin and Tobin?
Jeff and Mike.
Well, I got
are
the first
the
name
same.
Wrong. But they're four letter words.
Tobin and Thomas.
No. Jeff
you got
and Mike
both
are similar.
Names wrong.
No, you're
Jeff
wrong.
And Mike are similar.
You can't get both names wrong to say you were close.
No, the second name wasn't wrong.
You would kill me for saying the same thing.
The second name wasn't wrong.
You would kill me for that.
The second name wasn't all the way wrong.
you got a majority of the letters.
Yeah, that's close enough.
But did Tim Brando almost get it right?
Yeah.
Jeffrey Branham.
No, Tim really. Brando was yes, closer than you.
He didn't call me Brian McDonald. Yes, he was close.
I mean, he got like Jeffrey and Jeremy. If you would have said
that's
Matt,
close.
If you would have said Matt and Mike, I'd be like, okay, close.
Same letter, right?
Jeffrey and Jeremy are close.
No, but Mike and Jeff are not.
But they're four letter names.
That doesn't
one
matter.
Syllable.
Brando got way closer than you did.
This is how brains operate.
No, Brian's right. You would not let us get away with this. You would never let me get away with it.
I'm not saying I'm right. I'm saying I'm close.
You're not.
You're not close.
Can you give me the last name being close?
Yes, the last name was close. I'll give you that. You were not close
in the
first name.
I'm halfway there. I'm halfway close.
You're like
20. You got both names wrong. You're halfway close.
But you know what you just described, though? Like, Jeffrey and Jeremy are close. To some people, the way their brains operate, four-letter names are close. So, like, and that is like the minor. It is true.
Come on.
I promise you. People associate things in a very different way.
What study that you just pulled out of your
right now? I watched that show with Shiv on Netflix and learned that.
That's true.
It's not a documentary.
I didn't say it was a documentary.
Then why are you quoting stats from
it? Because I'm not recording a stat from it. What? It's not a stat. It's information. There's totally different things. The kid on that show, I forget exactly the condition, but he had a way of associating like color to what? Like pictures, right?
To words.
To words, yeah.
Like he would see the number, he would eat an apple and think the number 7.
Yes.
That's not what you're doing
That's
here.
That's the thing.
That's not what you're doing.
That's pretty much the same thing.
No, it's not.
I think I'm right. I'm just kidding. I don't
check
think
the
right.
text line.
What's his real name?
Mike. I don't even know now.
Mike Tobin?
Tobin.
Tobin's good enough. Anyways, he talked for a while. Okay. And then
Jeffrey Branham.
He talked for a little bit. He talked about what they're going to have there. They're going to have a lot of stuff.
They're going to have stuff.
They're going to have a lot of stuff.
A lot of stuff.
They're going to have three practice fields.
Cool.
They're gonna have
H-Town.
Yeah, I mean, it's they're going to have funeral homes there. I'm just kidding. Then they're going to have that indoor facility that is going to be able to host the Texans, like indoor stuff. But also, it said that it could be an 18,000-seat venue.
That's cool.
And he said they're going to have Friday Night Lights there.
Nice.
So we'll get to all the other. I have a legitimate take on Toro District a little bit later for you, though. Like, we'll make fun of Cal McNair.
Yeah.
Of course we'll make fun of Cal McNair because that's what we do. We make fun of people in Cal McNair. And then I have a legitimate take on Toro District, like a sincere legitimate take. Like, legitimately.
I can't wait to hear your legitimate take.
I think you're going to like it. I think Brian's going to like it. I think you're going to like it. I think the dozens and dozens of our listeners are going to like it.
Okay.
Sports Illustrated is going to like it. Bleacher Report's going to like it.
A lot of people are saying it.
Yeah.
A lot of people.
We'll get to that later, though. Maybe a will of bits. People like when we do the will of bits, so maybe a will of bits. Cap casualties for the Texans. Who could potentially be that? Jason McIntyre's running his mouth again. Also, Jimmy Price. Jimmy Price of Astros Future, one of my favorite follows on the internet. He's going to be joining us at 5:15 to discuss the Astros Future. But the Rockets played a basketball game, first and foremost, Joe. Our lead story. I told myself I wasn't going to do that.
I kind of got you.
I forgot about it.
I was close to getting you.
You did. You did. I think you got me, actually.
Yeah, it kind of counts.
I just remembered I wasn't going to do that. First thing I want to ask you. Do you take anything seriously that anybody does when they play Sacramento? Do you see this video where they were double teaming Jeff Green in the post and left Kevin Durant wide open?
Yeah. The only thing I take away from this game is at least you didn't turn the ball over 26 times like you did against the Jazz.
Yeah, that's good.
Mike should be on. Outside of that, no. They're the Kings. They suck.
I think you can take some stuff out of it. I think you have to be you have to grade on the curve.
You have
though.
To be fair. Like the Reed Shepherd stands are not graded on a curve today. They feel as validated as they possibly can.
Yeah.
But more Reed Shepherd minutes, start Reed Shepherd. They feel incredibly validated.
That was kind of my point. Yeah.
They're wrong.
It's kind of my point. Yeah. Look, I'm not anti Reed Shepherd though. Like I don't care if Reed Shepherd plays 30 minutes. I don't care if he starts. You know what I think is stupid, actually? I think it is stupid caring who starts.
Yes.
Here's the counter proposal I would have to the Reed stands. And I hope Reed Shepherd has a phenomenal career. I hope he's a Hall of Famer. Would you rather Reed Sheppard start the game and play 20 minutes, or would you rather him come off the bench and play 30?
Come off the bench and play 30.
Then you clamoring on the internet that he needs to be a starter is a false statement.
Yes.
Or you're ignorant. One of the two.
Yeah, I want to see Reed Sheppard, if I'm a Sheppard stan, to be on the court with a minute left to go in the game because he can play competent defense.
Yes. And, well, if you're a Sheppard stan, you already think he plays competent defense.
Yeah, that's true. They're wrong about that, too. Mm-hmm. But, no, I mean, like, it was fun to watch last night. It's good Amend's going to be back tonight against the Magic.
I'm curious to see what the minutes look like.
But
also, Dorian Finney-Smith's going to be back tonight.
Yeah.
So, I'm very curious to see the minutes.
So, in a weird way, not that I wish injury on anyone.
No, no.
It would be interesting to see if Amend would have been out for a week, what a larger sample size against some better competition would have looked like with Reed Sheppard as a starting point guard. Is there more spacing on the floor that's better for him? We saw great ball movement in this game last night. They were making a ton of great passes, just swinging around the three-point line to find the open shot. Would that continue without Amen Thompson on the court? Like, would it be better to have Amen in the lineup and Tari on the bench with Reed starting? One game sample size doesn't tell that. So it would have been interesting to learn that, but we're going to go back to normal tonight.
Look, and Reed's been playing. This isn't a one-game thing.
No, he's playing well.
Like, he did have a career high in three-pointers, so, like, pump the brakes. Like, oh, if he plays like this every night, we have our point guard of the future. Well, it was a career high in threes against the worst team in the NBA. He's not going to make seven threes a night. Like, that's just the reality of the situation. Now, should he play 30 minutes a game? I'm cool with that. Like, I'm cool with adjusting the rotation to where he can play 30 minutes a game to get this long sample as to what you have. I've seen the argument that, like, hey, the Rockets aren't a championship team. Like, let's get a heavy dose of Reed Sheppard to really see what you have. That's a solid take. Very good take. I like that take. I just, the whole, he must start. No, the argument you should be saying is he must play 32, 35 minutes a game. That should be the argument, not he should start. I just find that silly. Reed, though, over his last seven games, though, not just a one-game thing, is averaging 16.5 points a game over his last seven games.
Good.
Hoop Central putting the statistics out here. He is shooting 50% from the floor in his last seven games. He is hitting 46% of his threes in the last seven games. Rebounds or assists under four, rebounds under 3.5. I don't really look at him to rebound. If you get any rebounds for him, it's gravy. I would like to see the assist numbers a little higher, though, than 3.7. That said, like, I'm not taking anything away from these last seven games of Reed Sheppard. I'm totally on board with Reed Sheppard getting a heavy dose of minutes, getting 30 minutes a night, rest of the season, see what you got. But I don't need to be in the starting lineup. I always thought that was a stupid take.
No, totally agree. You want to be out there in meaningful minutes. That's what matters most. And I think the assist numbers that go into points you with that, if you wanted him in the starting lineup, part of that is probably finding open guys and running the offense with more fluidity than they do it. And again, last night it looked great. I mean, they bullied the Kings. Mm-hmm. I mean, at one point, Craig Ackerman was like, oh, it's been a 10-0 run for the Kings. The Rockets are still up by 20. It was a beatdown. In this entire game. The Kings are awful.
Yeah. That's what the Joe George saying the Kings suck, like if the Rockets didn't lose to them twice. That's two separate conversations.
Yeah.
Like, the Kings suck. Like, there's no argument here. They're literally the worst team in the NBA. So, like,
You're a disaster.
That's a fact. They are a disaster. That's a fact, Jack. The other fact here, sidebar conversation, Rockets lost to him twice.
Yeah, they did.
Like, sidebar conversation. So, like, both things are true. It doesn't make the other thing wrong. I think that's, like, a word that we used over the last couple of weeks. So, yeah, I mean, great. Like, it's better that he played this way than not play this way. I'm not going to sit here and say that he must be in the starting five. I'm not sure it's your best starting five, but I'm totally cool with him getting more minutes. Totally cool with him getting more minutes. I do want to tip my cap at the Rockets, though. For beating a bad team that they've lost to twice.
Yep.
The worst team in the league. But also, the way they did it, like blowing them out, you could rest your starters. It was the first day of a back-to-back. You travel to Orlando. You play the Magic today. Like, Durant played less than 30 minutes. Tari Eason played less than 25 minutes. Jeff Green, for goodness sakes, played 15 minutes. So, like, that's what you needed to do against a bad team. Additionally, it's what you need to do against a bad team, which is the first game of a back-to-back.
And I think specifically within the Durant part of this conversation, when you play Washington on Monday, you need to do these things where you want to talk about limiting his minutes and taking the load off of him. That's where you do it. He doesn't need to take days off. You need to pummel the Wizards when you play them, and these bottom feeder teams, the Pelicans when you play them, the Grizzlies when you play them. Like, you need to destroy those teams and make it so Kevin Durant can play 28 minutes, 26 minutes in a game.
Yeah.
So that's exactly, they did exactly what they're supposed to do last night.
Exactly what they're supposed to do.
I will say, when it goes in for Reed, though, it looks nice.
Yeah, he,
nothing but.
It does. It's no, nice. It does. I don't think he's great off the dribble. I have kind of noticed that. Like, sometimes when he gets going, he'll try to, like, you know, heat check off the dribble. And he's not as great off the dribble. Now, he's fine, like, off the dribble, like, off the screen with space. But if he's trying to, like, break a guy down, he kind of struggles in that department. Which is fine. He doesn't need that to be a good player. He doesn't need that in his bag. It's just an observation. He can still be a fine player without that in his bag. I care way more about the defensive side of the ball than him breaking a guy down off the dribble. Because he can be a guy you run off screen, which I wish they would actually do more. I would like them to use him as a guy running off screens a la like Rip Hamilton.
Yeah.
Like if he gets going, like he is a weapon offensively. There's no denying that. He could potentially be your third best offensive weapon. Like from a pure sure-do point of view, like running off screens. Like Jabari can shoot it, but you're not running Jabari off screens. He's kind of lumbering, you know?
He's just when he's open, he takes the shot and he's making a lot of them.
Which, I mean, I've said for a few years now, I think Jabari can be one of the most unique role players in the NBA, which is fine. It's totally fine, even though he's the number three pick. I don't look at things that way. 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener. Anything else you had on this Rockets game?
No, that's it. I think we covered it.
Yeah.
It's an old-fashioned beatdown.
It was. If Sabonis, Hunter, and LaVine were healthy, Rockets lose to the Kings. Yeah, maybe. Who knows? The other thing I had, this Isaiah Crawford guy who wears the goggles.
Yep.
That dude fouls a lot.
He does.
He fouls a ton, that guy.
He's not probably a very good basketball player.
I mean, he's good enough to be in the NBA, Joe.
That's true. Yeah. But compared to other NBA players.
Yeah, relative to the rest of the NBA.
Yes. Relative to us, he's incredible.
Really good.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe like great even. I didn't realize he went to Louisiana Tech.
I mean, he's probably the Michael Jordan of us.
Louisiana Tech, the Lady Texters.
The Lady Texters.
You know the most famous Lady Texter?
Nope.
Kim Mullet Robinson.
Oh, really?
That's where she went to school. Hmm. Yeah, she was a scrappy little point guard. Fiery, even.
Why do you know that?
I mean, I've broadcasted women's basketball for almost 20 years, Joe.
Oh, that's true. You are old. I forget that.
I am a...
seasoned vet.
I am like a... what would you call it? A chamber of women's basketball information.
You are, yeah.
Yeah.
What else you got? What other information should I...
What do you want to know?
I don't know. You tell me. You're the chamber.
It just comes to me. I'm a good counter speaker. I'm like Floyd Mayweather in conversation. Gotcha. I'm a counter speaker. I don't just open up the dialogue. All right, 713-780-3776, HRMP listener line. You can watch along, twitch.tv/ESPN975. They're dangerous in there, though.
Who's a fat guy as well. In his underwear, living in his mother's basement.
YouTube, ESPN Houston. We're also, you can watch us on Twitter, even. ESPN975, TikTok, ESPN975. You can stream us on the website, stream us on the ESPN app. Joe's at Joe George Radio on Twitter. Brian's at Sack by BMAC. I'm at Jeremy Branham. When we come back, if you have Rockets talks, we'll take them. Also, I don't understand the misspelling here. The disrespect of a person we lost today. We lost Jerrod Johnson from the Houston Texans organization today, Joe. And I don't know which one of you jabronis put this in the rundown.
That was me.
That jabroni.
But that was me.
Brian Jabroni. He's misspelled his name. He's just giving me grief about Tomlin, and he's misspelling Jerrod Johnson's name.
He said it wrong again.
I know. I forgot which one it was, so I just went both. Is it Tomlin or Tomlin?
Tomlin.
Tombin or Tobin.
Not Tomlin.
Yeah, you threw a new name in there.
Yeah, why did y'all misspell Gerard's name?
Because you decided to correct citizen or text chain, so I decided to.
I didn't. Oh, I said. I did correct. You're right. I said, have some respect.
Yeah.
I was closer the first time to use your vernacular, and then I just decided to try to troll you.
Yeah. Unbelievable.
I appreciate it.
That's disrespectful to somebody we've lost. But let's discuss this. The Texans going to have a new quarterback coach next year. What's the significance of that? Little deal, big deal, no deal? It's Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5, 97.9 HD2. You know what is a big deal? A basketball goal from Pro Dunk. They are the best basketball goals on the planet. Highest quality basketball goals you'll find. Don't waste your time in the big box stores. You can get a goal there, but it ain't going to be any good. You're going to be replacing it here pretty soon, whether it's the backboard that busts open, the rim's not level, they're not very sturdy, so the wind blows them over, especially with us and the weather we get. You got to have a sturdy basketball goal. You have to have a quality basketball goal, and that's what you get with Pro Dunk. Tempered glass backboard. They got a breakaway rim, which is important because when you throw down jams, it stays strong for you. Stainless steel hardware. It's rust-proof, another must-have in the city of Houston. Height adjustable, anywhere from 5 to 10 feet. It is awesome. Their accessories, Well, they're next level. LED light kits for night play. Like, it gets dark. It's hot during the day in Houston. You get LED light kits for night play. You can play when the sun goes down. Also, you're at work. Kids are at school. You really don't have time during the day sometimes, depending on who you are. LED light kits, you can play around the clock. Backstop nets, too. That way you don't have to chase the basketball around. Pull pad lettering. You can customize this sucker any way you want. And lots, lots more. You can also get the installation online as well at ProDunk.com. That's right. You call them up. They bring all the stuff out to the house, and they're going to install it. You can't screw it up. It's idiot-proof for people like me, which is always annoying, too. Like, you order something, and they deliver this big box. It's got a million pieces. Like, what am I going to do? I don't know how to do this. You don't have to worry about that with ProDunk, because they're going to make sure that it's installed right for you. So find out more. Go online, produnk.com. Make sure you get a goal from the best in the market, or give them a call, 281-351-9822, 281-351-9822, produnk.com. Take advantage of the best goals in the market.
Warning, warning. You're listening to ESPN 97.5. Jeremy and Joe
on ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
That reminds me.
What reminds you?
That's they call me the Huntington Bank bad boy.
Is that accurate?
713-780-ESPN. Junkies are getting on to me.
Junkie?
Yeah. Sorry, Branham, you're going to have to take this one on the chin. That wouldn't be considered close enough for me either. Sorry, bud. Sorry, you don't have to apologize. Branham is junkie of the day for trying to defend his mistake. I was just saying the last name was close, which it was. Very close.
You moved the goalpost a little bit. You were trying to say you're close overall. Now yeah. You've shifted to the last
name.
I
was kind of funny being funny on that part.
Mm-hmm.
It was being hilarious, really.
That's what I do when I do math. I'm just trying to be funny.
I agree. I think you're hysterical.
So it's okay if we laugh when you get one wildly wrong.
Yeah. I love how Jeffrey's getting a dose of his own medicine today. Don't let up on him now.
Jeffrey Branham.
I wouldn't expect it any other way. These boys shouldn't let me off the hook. All right. Kamenair seems like the friend who always walks up to you and your wife at the bar and says something like, wow, your wife is looking great. Is she seeing
anyone?
Hey,
give everyone a hug over there.
Kamenair does seem like that. I don't think Cal would do that with Hannah, though. I don't think he would do that now that he's married.
No,
maybe when he was
no.
single.
Yeah.
Hannah wouldn't let that fly. Hannah's not playing that kind of game.
Because Hannah could do better, so he knows he shouldn't push it?
Cal's a catch, boy.
Well, he's got money.
Cal is a wonderful, wonderful catch.
It depends on if there's a prenup or not.
Like, if I was into guys, it might be Cal McNair.
There's got to be a prenup.
Like, he's rich. He's cool. He's got a great personality.
He can grill burgers.
He's not going to get in the way. He's not going to meddle.
He can throw up the H.
He's going to let you do whatever you want.
He's a great supporter.
You're going to get to run the Texans.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I get to run an NFL organization.
Yeah,
like, Cal is a catch.
Cal's playing Guitar Hero. You get to run the Texans.
Yeah.
He might be he might. He's not eligible anymore, but before he was married, he had to have been the most eligible bachelor in Houston.
How long has he been married?
Several years. I mean, they have kids. They have kids who are like almost teenagers.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I was just trying to gather, was he single before his dad bought the Texans?
Oh, sure.
Okay.
You'd have been pretty young then, right?
I mean,
that was in 2000. That was like 1999.
I was just, like, to be the most eligible bachelor, I think he would have to be future owner in waiting. So if he got married before they bought the team, then that would change things.
Okay, so Cal, according to Wikipedia.
Okay.
First marriage.
Oh, I didn't know there was a first
one.
Cal. Ended in divorce in 2002.
Well, it had to have been her fault.
6 years later, he met Hannah Hartland. Who he married in 2009.
The Heartland
sisters. Okay, there you go.
That's still a long time. I mean, that's
so he was an eligible bachelor after Bob bought the Texans.
He had to have been number one, most eligible bachelor in Houston in a single
It looked, and they said 6 years later they met, and they got married in 2009, which means they got married, they got dated, engaged, married in a year.
I've heard the story.
She locked it down.
I've heard the story of how it happened.
Really?
Yeah, she was working somewhere that Cal was doing business with, and like he walked in, and I think he saw her and like asked like the boss, like, hey, who's that? And then, like, you know, that's what sparked it.
What's her name?
Hannah.
She married?
Her name's Hannah.
I like Joe's cow impression.
Junkie Rocky. Rocky says right now they have some Patriots jabroni playing quarterback coach. They need to get Keenum to retire and come home. Keenum would be fantastic. Yeah, did you see the name who's going to replace Gerard Johnson?
Jerry Shaplinsky.
You know where he went to college?
I do. Oh, I do. I
John
know.
John Carroll. Of course it's John Carroll.
Yeah, so they brought him in last year, right, as an assistant to the staff, and then it was another John Carroll guy.
Assistant to the regional general manager.
He worked with Tommy, too, at some point, right, with Mr. Brady on the Patriots staff.
Okay.
His John Carroll guy. The John Carrollization of the Houston Texans continues.
Am I wrong to not like it just because he went to John Carroll?
No, no
that's
not
how
wrong.
I feel, too.
It feels like a...
So you've got Nick Caserio, Frank Ross, like Jerry Shaplinsky, Nick Cayley, and there's at least one other person in the front office. There's at least five members of the Texans organization, coaching staff, or front office that went to John Carroll.
That's weird.
Yes. It's
known
weird.
Football
it doesn't make any sense.
John Carroll.
I think they are good Division II or whatever they are.
Yeah, they're fine. But like, it's not like...
They are like a known D3 power.
It's not. If it was Bama...
Yeah, can we have a bloodline from Ohio State?
Or Georgia?
Yeah.
You know?
No, you're going to take John Carroll and like it. You're stuck with John Carroll.
We ain't going to like it. We've got it. But it's why I don't like the hire either. It's another Patriots, John Carroll.
It's not even a hire.
Yeah, it's a promotion.
It's a promotion from within. So, Dr. Barrett, you ever see Dr. Barrett on Twitter?
Yeah.
I like Dr. Barrett on Twitter. He's not scared of it. Well, you know, I don't really know who he is, but he's hiding behind a fake name, I think. So maybe that's why he's tough. But, like, he doesn't, like, you know, shy away from anything. He said he was listening to Lopez, I guess, which Lopez and Gerard are pretty tight.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I grew up in Humboldt, Atascocita. I knew Gerard. I knew the Johnson family. Gerard Johnson's dad was my driver's ed instructor. May God rest his soul. Gerard knows me. Gerard asked for tickets for once upon a time. And then when I said no, he ghosted me. I lost my train of thought. Oh, Dr. Barrett said that he was listening to Lopez, and they said they weren't going to fire him, but they were going to demote Gerard to assistant quarterback coach, and Gerard was like, nah, I'm good.
Well, that's the right move.
All right.
You don't interview to be the Eagles OC and then willingly take a promotion. You bail and go take a job at A&M for a year and then get back into the college ranks or something like that next year.
I would stay in the NFL.
If he can at this point. I mean, it's so...
I wonder if he goes to Miami under Slowick.
I mean, he
interviewed for more than just the Eagles OC, right?
Yeah. So he's had several OC.
He's had several OC interviews. I figure he could find work somewhere as a quarterback's coach.
I think he'll find work somewhere.
I also find just the timing odd. Why now?
Yeah.
If you knew you were going to do this and you were going to demote him, if that's what it was, I trust Lopez. Why are these conversations happening now? Why did it take until we're at the NFL Combine?
Maybe they were waiting for the entire coaching carousel to play out in case he took another job.
And just hoping he was going to get it?
Yeah.
Which, like, that's fair.
That's my best guess is the timing. Is that they were like, hey, we know we're going to demote him. They might have even told him that. Like, hey, this is what's going to happen. Like, just letting you know. And then, hey, play out the process. And then we'll see where we're at in late February.
Yeah,
what's the urgency? You're not working with him yet.
No, you're right. And if you think he was going to leave anyways, then, like, what does it matter? And you're demoting him. So, I don't like it really purely for the fact that it's another John Carroll guy.
Yeah, I can't stand that part of it.
I don't get it. And a Patriots connection. To me, it furthers my belief that DeMeco did not hire Nick Cayley and that this is a Nick Caserio thing. And that it's just all his John Carroll guys.
He could have signed off on it.
Is that accurate?
Yeah. I mean, I know Nick Caserio said today on Pat McAfee's show that he would never want to work with any other coach than DeMeco Ryans. But
That's a lie.
If there was a head coach candidate that worked
with John... If DeMeco decides to go spend time with his family, Caserio's just going to quit?
That's not what he said, bro.
No, but...
He said he would like to not work with another coach.
Yeah. I believe that. Unless there was a head coaching candidate that came from John Carroll.
I would like to not work with another producer.
And then he leaves us.
I would like to not work with another co-host.
I appreciate that.
But it's probably going to happen.
In this market, for sure.
So that's what I'm saying with Caserio. That's what Caserio's saying. Like, Caserio's like, hey, I love the guy I'm working with. I hope I never work with anybody else, but it's likely that he probably will.
Yeah. It's just, like, I think it's fine to make a change. CJ hasn't played well. And last year, you looked at your offensive line. You said, hey, we're going to promote within. We're going to move Cole Popovich into this role. And I think the offensive line took some small steps forward this year. It wasn't, you know, much better if you look at certain analytics. But that was a fine decision. I didn't agree with that one at the time. But it feels okay that Cole Popovich is the offensive line coach right now.
Yeah.
It was probably time for a change of something, for a shakeup, to at least send a message, I think, within the organization that you're acknowledging their quarterback play is below standard. Someone's got to be the fall guy. Last year it was Slowik. This year it's Jarrod Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
How many more coaches will C.J. Stroud get fired?
So, we'll see. I agree with you that it's fine to fire Jarrod, and it was probably the right play, or mutually part ways. But I'm going to explain to you the two scenarios when we come back. One of the scenarios people aren't going to like to hear. Another junkie, I'll do it. I'll quit my stay-at-home dad
junkie
job so I can be your new producer. What are your qualifications, though? Why should we fire Brian and hire you? It can't just be a text.
Can you remind Jeremy to read the liner coming back?
Can you run to my truck whenever I forget things?
I'm not going to do that.
Yeah, no. So you might be qualified, junkie. All right, 713-780-3776. I'll give you my side of the story. Actually, just my take. On the other side, it's Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5, 97.9 HD2.
Houston's independent voice for sports talk. You're back with Jeremy and Joe, broadcasting live from inside the Huntington Bank Studios.
On ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Junkie says Cal plays Nintendo while sitting on the floor with no furniture. Perfect material. I agree. Who wouldn't love that?
I remember doing that. It's a great time. Sitting there.
Who made you stop doing it?
My back? Probably.
For me, it was my knees.
Or eventually got a chair that I like to sit in.
This is the most pathetic 15 seconds of radio I've ever heard.
Did you listen to the start of the show?
My bad back, my bad knees. How'd you hurt them? Video games.
How'd you hurt your hand? Soft. How'd you hurt your hand?
Playing golf.
You sure?
A real man sport.
Like,
yes.
It's like 6 months ago at this point.
Right. It's radiated throughout my arm.
Yeah.
But yes, I think it's built up since then.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah,
that's
golf.
That's what they all say.
What do you mean golf?
You don't know that.
I do know that.
Taking notes.
I absolutely know that. I don't take notes.
You just type everything?
I type either on my phone or my computer.
Okay. A little carpal tunnel?
Could be that. It could have, led to that.
That could
be in play.
Sometimes sitting on the ground, it hurts eventually.
Mm-hmm.
That's why Cal, stop playing video games.
All these you're like limping. Why are you
I'm
limping?
I'm not sure.
I have video games.
I kind of wonder if we invited Cal.
NCAA 2K3.
Yeah. If we invited him to our college football dynasty, I think he'd play.
Oh, you think Cal would join?
He'd be awesome.
Brian's like limping around. Why are you limping, man? Was it the war? No, it was Madden 25.
We got Cal to join our college football dynasty that you make fun of all the time, would you get a PS5 and join it with us so you could play against Cal online?
No.
No?
No.
Like open mic just for like an hour, be able to talk to Cal while he's playing college football?
My thoughts on video games being a terrible waste of precious time supersedes my love affair with Cal McNair.
Disagree.
Sorry.
You get
my
the chance
view.
To hang out with Cal?
Not really.
On the mic?
Does he even be on the mic? Like, he's on a video? Like, I don't know. I'm sorry.
I mean,
I think it's a
be.
Waste of time. I think it's a terrible waste of time. You spend how many hours a week do you spend on this?
Oh,
too many.
Too many.
How many kids you have? How many wives you have?
I got one kid, one wife.
We got one each.
Think of all the time you could be spending with them.
They're sleeping.
Yeah. That's when I'm mostly playing, either when they're asleep or they're at school. That's when I'm playing.
I thought your wife watched you.
Well, not the college football game.
Oh, I got you. Anyways, so I think that the mutual parting ways with Jarrod probably needed to happen. Like, okay, let's figure it out. But there's two scenarios in play here. And, I don't know either one. Like, I know Jarrod. I don't know if Jarrod's a good quarterback coach. I've never been coached by Jarrod. I think he'd be good. I think he'd be really good. I can't say that definitively that he is. I've never seen him operate. I've never seen all other NFL quarterback coaches operate. I think that the best coaches a lot of times aren't the ones that win the most games, though. I think they're the ones that squeeze the most out of a player. Like, we talk about this with Coach of the Year voting, that the Coach of the Year, in my opinion, should be the coach that gets the most out of a team, not necessarily the team who wins the most games. So how I view this, mutual parting of ways, what do we know about C.J. Stroud? We know that he's played 3 years in the NFL. We know that his rookie year to where he's at now has been, I think, kind of the same. Like, I don't think he's much different in year three than he is year one. His results and his stats are better in year one than they were year three. So I'll even concede like a gradual decline from year one to year three. What we can all agree with is there hasn't been the growth, right? There hasn't been this development. There hasn't been this fantastic to the moon like we thought C.J. Stroud was going to have after he had a historic rookie year. But also, what do we know about C.J. Stroud's historic rookie year? The offensive coordinator was Bobby Slowick, who got fired last year, and the quarterback coach was Gerard Johnson, who is now mutually parted ways. So, like, okay, like, why is he going backwards with coaches 1 year that he had a historic rookie season with? So there's two things in play. Either C.J. Stroud has received poor coaching, the poor coaching that had him whenever he was a rookie and had this historic season, or C.J. Stroud is the problem. And we continue to like, well, we've done this a lot with C.J. Stroud. We're like, well, this is why he isn't having success. No, now this is why he's not having success. Okay, now it's this why he hasn't had this growth and development. At what point do we just look at the quarterback and say, well, it's the quarterback? Like, how, it wasn't Bobby in year one. It wasn't Gerard Johnson in year one. It wasn't the offensive line in year one. It wasn't the lack of a running game in year one. It wasn't a lack of receiver talent in year one. Now, well, why does he have these struggles? Why hasn't he progressed in the way that we thought he would? Everybody's going to tell you, well, the running game. Well, the offensive line. Well, he had a bad coordinator. Well, he had a bad quarterback coach. At what point is it just the root of the problem?
I mean, I think we're there now. It's like this is always how it goes when a quarterback fails. Coordinators get fired, coaches get fired. At some point, the quarterback just has to take the blame. It has to be on the quarterback.
Which, like, that's why I'm okay with the mutual parting of ways. Because, sure. Like, now we'll know. Like, now, although it is kind of weird that Gerard stuck around another year after Slowick left. So, like, there was overlap between Kaylee and Gerard. Like, I can see it right now. C.J. Stroud has a poor year right this season. I do think more people will start to turn against C.J. Stroud, but you know what else is going to happen? They're going to say it's Kaylee's fault.
Yeah.
Well, Nick Kaylee's the reason he's having struggles and he's not having the success that he did his rookie year. So at what point do we stop pointing the fingers to other things and just be like, yeah, maybe we inflated C.J. Stroud after a historic rookie season?
I mean, to me, if you're not there yet, the only real thing left to do is, because it's not just Kaylee, it's either it's C.J. or it's the coaching staff. Which decision do you want to make?
And well, the coaching staff.
So then we're there. Then if he doesn't have success this season, then you have to look at the coaching staff. I mean, look at C.J.'s future and be like, hey, it's time to move on. If you believe in your coaching staff. And that might still mean a change in Nick Kaylee for new quarterback, whoever that would be in 2027. But if it's either C.J. or it's the people around him, and you have to make a decision. And the problem is that what most likely would actually happen is you would choose your quarterback, you would fire your coach, and then that new coaching staff would then also get a new quarterback the following year.
Yeah.
So if you like your coaching staff, you need to have success with your quarterback.
I mean, I'm not willing to rule out that it could be both, but like we talked about this a few months ago when I found that stat on like off-target throws or bad throw percentage. I know CJ had the great touchdown to interception ratio his first year, but when you look under the hood of those types of stats, like he's been pretty much the same guy. I think this is classic. We see this with head coaches all the time. Head coach has some mediocre seasons. He fires his coordinators. He makes them the scapegoat, and then he buys himself another season. I kind of feel like this is what they're doing with CJ. You know, oh, it's Bobby Slowick's fault. Oh, it's Gerard Johnson's fault. They're just buying him some time and trying to cast blame elsewhere.
Yeah. No, I agree that it needed to happen because you need to find the answer, right? You need the resolution,
yeah.
And especially the timing of his contract. So I'm not opposed to the fact that they made a change. It's just we need to be – like, and what fans struggle with sometimes is they don't believe the possibility that it could be that when you don't want to believe that. Like, again, I know Gerard. Like, I'm not sitting here telling you I know if Gerard's a good quarterback coach or not. I don't know. I've never been coached by Gerard. Never been a quarterback in the NFL. I haven't seen the 31 other quarterback coaches. Maybe Gerard's dead last. Maybe he's the best. I don't know. I couldn't tell you. The only quarterback that he's really had is C.J. Stroud. He had a historic rookie season. Now he's kind of been pretty mediocre. So let's figure it out. Let's figure it out to see if C.J. Stroud will have success with not even a new guy, a guy who was on the staff.
I mean, and
we'll find out.
And the next step can be, you know, for C.J.'s fifth year in the NFL, he has his third offensive coordinator. Like that, that there's still, I think, a clear path to that. You look at the recent examples of guys who have had these bounce backs in their career, whether it's early on, you know, with like with Caleb Williams or later on with Sam Darnold. When you put them with a pure offensive mind, the problem is you can't get that guy as your OC. So, like, I don't know what the solution is. Like, you're just not going to find a wizard who has all these play calling experience to come in and fix the quarterback problem where they already be a head coach.
Yeah, I feel like this. I feel like you don't need to do that, though. Like, to me, that's like, what's the priority? What's the priority of the Houston Texans?
Winning games.
Okay. Well, if the priority of the Texans is winning games, why would you make your quarterback the priority? Like Seattle, like Sam, they just won the Super Bowl. Sam Darnold. And they paid Sam Darnold a considerable amount of money, substantial amount of money. Is he the priority in Seattle? I wouldn't say he's the priority in Seattle. They have an unbelievable defense with a defensive-minded coach, and they have one of the best receivers in the NFL.
Sure.
Sam Darnold's making, what, $25 million this year?
I think he's a little over 30.
I think that might be the average, but I think okay. This year's cap hit's like 25. So, like, is he the priority in Seattle? I don't think he's the priority. He's important. Obviously, the quarterback's always important. Is he the priority? I would argue he's not even close to the priority in Seattle. They just won the Super Bowl.
No, but the difference is that with the Texans and CJ, is he becomes the priority because you either have to keep him at $55 million a year, most likely, or you have to change quarterbacks.
Sure.
So, like, that's where I think it's he's still the priority. Where, like, you could go down a Sam Darnold path post CJ, and it can work for you. You can find a mid-level quarterback who just makes less mistakes and runs the offense in the way that D'Amico and Nick Haley want it to run. But until you get through that, the decision about a contract, I feel like CJ still is the priority. Because if you
I disagree completely.
Because if you make the wrong decision, you're sunk.
Nick Caserio, every single time he talks behind a microphone, says that he needs to do what's in the best interest of the Houston Texans, which I agree with that logic. You should always be doing what's in the best interest of the Houston Texans. I think mutually parting ways with your quarterback coach was in the best interest of the Houston Texans today because it gives us more information on to who C.J. Stroud is. Those two paths, okay, maybe C.J. Stroud just bad with whoever's coaching him, or maybe he was getting bad coaching. I think we'll find some of that out next year. We'll get more information there, and if they don't sign him to an extension this offseason, which I really hope they don't do, and I'm still torn on whether or not they will. I hope they don't. And then you kick the can down the road on when you make that decision, because I would love 17 more games of C.J. Stroud to figure out what I want to do. But there's a very real, like, tangible scenario where C.J. Stroud's just mediocre again, and you can't afford to pay him $55 million, and then instead you just build around this unbelievable defense is a way to spend the money there, and you figure out a quarterback in some other way.
100%.
Like, there's a very real possibility that the best interest of the Houston Texans, which, again, Nick Caserio says every time he opens his mouth, is a future without C.J. Stroud.
Totally agree.
And obviously, next year's a critical year. Next year's a critical year for him. But if they come out in 3 weeks, like, we've extended C.J. Stroud, I'm not going to like that decision.
No, because you shouldn't be having to mutually part ways with coaches and fire multiple coaches to then give a quarterback that contract.
No.
Those guys should be leaving to be offensive coordinators and head coaches elsewhere because of how good of a job that they've been doing. Now they're being fired because of the quarterback play itself. Yep. It doesn't, to me, equal a new contract.
Junkie says Jalen Hurts that Philadelphia has had how many different offense coordinators in the last 5 years? They're winning. That's a great point.
Same with Baker Mayfield. It's like
great point.
I think six years in a row he's had a new coordinator, or like going back to Oklahoma.
I just get scared of whenever you blame all the reasons for the quarterback not progressing on everything else but the quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's not realistic. Like, you got to take some accountability. And hopefully he does. He was talking at, like, his mother's gala the other day, saying, like, I'm taking accountability. And I hope he does. And I'm rooting for him. And I think a lot of times that you have to fail before you succeed. I think a lot of times you need to be embarrassed and humbled before you can really take off as a player. I was thinking about this earlier today in relation to Cam Smith, actually. And then I related that to Hunter Brown. Hunter Brown was not good early in his Astros career. He almost got sent down, in fact, that next year. And he came out of the bullpen after Christian Javier tore his UCL and had a good performance that kept his job, which he might not have even kept his job after the performance if Christian Javier wasn't hurt. And then he changed his career, turned his career around. So it can happen. Very, very much so can happen. But this year's critical. Very, very critical. All right, 713-780 ESPN. Why do teams put so much interest on drafted guys and less on guys brought in? Probably because they're cheaper. Probably because they're cheaper and you have more data on them, right? Yeah. Like you draft Will Anderson. You know what he's like every day, so you're very comfortable paying Will Anderson. Whereas if it was like Jadeveon Clowney, like you see what he does on tape, but you don't really know what he's like on a day-to-day basis in your facilities. You're going to ask around, but asking around and getting hearsay isn't the same as what your eyes tell you. So I would guess that.
There's a reason why these guys, if they're a free agent, they're available. But the other team didn't want them enough to keep them.
Sure.
I mean, we rarely see teams, win the offseason in free agency and then have success the following season. In fact, like Jacksonville proved, you can be one of the worst teams in the NFL and have the best supposed offseason every single year. They did for like 3 years straight.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, that's why you got to draft guys. You got to develop them.
If CJ's a big miss, how does the CJ trade look for Nick? Not good. Doesn't look good. You could have drafted Jahmyr Gibbs, Sam Laporta, and still had a first-round pick the next year.
I mean, the trade was for Will, though.
It was a historic haul. Yeah, but if you don't make the trade, you like Will more than CJ, you don't make the trade, you take Will Anderson as two. But I agree with that. I hate when people say that was a trade for CJ. Well, you literally selected CJ, and then you didn't make the trade until there was like a minute and a half left on the clock. So like it could have fallen through.
Yeah.
And there's always a possibility of a trade falling through when another team is on the clock. So they told you that they put more priority on Stroud than Will Anderson. Because if they had more priority on Will Anderson than Stroud and the trade was for Stroud, well, then you take Will Anderson at two.
Yeah, you wouldn't
three.
Risk it.
Now, the pushback here would be, well, you don't have as many teams in on number three if Stroud was still available. But
yeah,
at the same point, the Texans risked it. They rolled the dice. If that trade falls through, or let's just say the Colts trade up to number three to take Anthony Richardson, who they took two picks later anyways. You're toast. You're done. You don't have Will Anderson.
I mean, honestly, the Cardinals, like, if they could hit edit on dude, do you think they take that trade, or do you think they just what was it?
Will
Cardinals?
Yeah, do you think the Cardinals just take Will Anderson now if they could get a redo on that?
Oh, if you could do
that?
A draft redo,
yeah, if you could get a redo on that, you just take Will Anderson, right?
I don't know.
There's a few Cardinals fans I listen to that do have that opinion. They would rather just taken Will Anderson, but
you could have gotten Jahmyr Gibbs at 12. That was what's funny. That Arizona ended up screwing it too, because Arizona ended up trading 12 and a future pick to trade up to like what, 9? I don't even remember who.
Took. They traded back up for
maybe an offensive lineman.
I think so.
Yeah, they traded back up. They traded down with the Texans at 12, traded back up with Detroit, and then Detroit actually ended up with the Texans picks, and then that's whenever they drafted Jahmyr Gibbs at 12, and they drafted Laporta, I think, at 33, though.
Yeah.
Levis actually went 34.
Levis went with the
went with the pick the Texans originally had.
Yes.
And he got, like, traded around to Tennessee eventually. Revisionist history, but whatever. Is C.J. Stroud in his first few years as much as a disappointment as Johnny Manziel in his first few years?
No,
not
the totality and the meltdown that Manziel had, but just the first few years of performance. No. I mean, C.J. Stroud had a top 10-ish season in his rookie year. In the last 2 years, while they've been disappointing, he's still been, slightly below average, somewhere in the 17 to 20 range as a starting quarterback. Manziel was unplayable.
Yeah, he was terrible.
No, not even
his only moment was when he had that fake play.
Yeah,
him and Kyle Shanahan were yelling at each other on the sidelines, and it was just a pass to him.
Uh huh. I remember that. I think it was supposed to be an illegal play too. I don't think you're allowed to do it, and like they didn't call it. I want to say it wasn't supposed to. I want to say that they missed the call on that. Junkie, maybe you inflated CJ. Wow, look, I did. Like, how could you not, after the rookie year, think that CJ Stroud's going to have this upward climb, this upward trajectory, and turn into a top 10 quarterback?
Yep.
After that rookie season, who didn't think that? I was one of them. Maybe I was gullible. Maybe I was naive, but that does look foolish now. I'll agree with you on that. That's also on Nick, then. In my opinion, the Texans are getting the new facility and possibly the new stadium with a bad contract to Stroud. Could it look bad opening up a new place with a mediocre quarterback? Stroud is a mediocre quarterback.
Yeah, by the time if they were to get a new stadium, I mean, CJ's second contract could be over by the time that's done.
Like, I don't like this logic. I see where you're going here. But, like, they need to pay CJ because they need a face of the franchise when they open up the new stadium, which isn't even in the cards yet. And if a new stadium came and was in the cards, how long would it take?
What team has ever tied opening a new stadium to their quarterback?
I have seen teams, like, they'll sign, like, a splashy free agent.
Yeah.
Not really in the NFL, though.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
there was talks that the Rays could do it with Kyle Tucker, you know, like a face to, you know, to.
I think that's far overrated.
I do too.
Yeah, I mean, like the Browns are going to be one of the worst teams in the NFL when their stadium opens.
You know what the best marketing?
The Athletics are terrible when their new stadium opens.
Maybe. We'll see.
They could be good eventually.
Yeah. I
mean, Kurtz is pretty dang good.
Nick Kurtz might get paid already.
Jack Wilson's an overrated bum, though. You know what's the best?
I forgot about that rivalry.
What I don't like whenever we talk about like the marketing of a team with like its players. And we see this a lot with, like, the Astros, too. Like, well, the Astros need to re-sign these guys because, you know, people love them, and they do, and they're coming to watch them. I get it. I hear you. That is a marketing tool. But you know what the greatest marketing tool is in sports?
Winning
games.
Well, that's the greatest marketing tool. You hear that conversation around the draft. Like, oh, they got to get a player. Like, you heard that with Manziel. You heard that with Vince Young. Like, oh, you got to draft the guy because people are going to want to come see him. Like, they'll come see a winner.
They come see a winner.
Yeah, I mean, like, they have... See, CJ might not be the face, but the Texans have faces of the franchise.
That's the other thing.
Will Anderson is the face of the franchise. Derek Stingley Jr. is right there standing next to him. Nico's up there. Like, they have guys that people really – you go to a Texans game. There are – yes, CJ Stroud jerseys outnumber.
But even if you have all those guys and you're winning three games, they're not going. If you have none of those guys and you're winning 15 games, everybody's going.
Yeah, everyone's going and everyone has their jerseys.
That's why I'm never scared of roster turnover on a team.
Yeah.
Like, you know, if you win – they will be there. If you lose, it doesn't matter who you have, they will not. If the Astros just go into the cellar and they start losing 100 games and they trade off everybody but Altuve, what are the seats going to look like? We've already seen it with Biggio. They'll be there whenever he gets his 3,000th hit. Every other time, they're going to be super empty. Like, player marketing is not nearly as important as winning games. Why are Texans scared to give Mills a fair chance? Stroud's better than Mills. His upside's way up here. Mills is just kind of here. Yep. Stroud does have a lower floor. Although not, I mean, Mills has a floor too.
I mean, Mills got, what, better part of two seasons as an audition?
Really bad teams, but
yeah. I just don't like the phrasing of give him a chance. I mean, if he went out there and played really well, then maybe they don't even draft Stroud.
Love the accountability. That's right. I love the accountability you two are finally taking after overinflating CJ for 3 years. Thank you. You're welcome.
You're welcome.
There are more Watt jerseys than Stroud jerseys in NRG. There you go. Rocky, draft Klubnik in the sixth if he's there and watch him ball out. Graham, Mertz ain't putting pressure on CJ, but Cade will. Oh, okay. That's a hot take. I like it, Rocky.
Bookmark that one.
I don't know if I believe it, but I like it. I wonder who takes a chance on Drew Aller.
Yeah.
Like, Drew Aller was a guy who had, like, first-round upside and then got hurt.
So did Nussmeier.
Nussmeier is interesting, too, because he was hurt. And he had, like, people are still high on him.
And it's a bad rookie class.
Yeah.
Quarterback class.
If Ty Simpson ends up going in the first round, I think one of those guys squeezes into the second.
It's going to be interesting.
I just don't know which one it's going to be. I don't think we can rule out Klubnik being the third quarterback taken.
Maybe not.
No, he had that same hype.
Yeah.
He had hype, bro. All right, I have a legit take on the Toro District. And we'll get your thoughts, too, on the Stroud
H-Town
QB thing. And then Cal being Cal. I got a couple of clips here I think you're going to like of Cal McNair. I also have a clip from the Harris County Commish Precinct 3, Tom Ramsey, with a spicy take on the podium yesterday. 713-780-3776, Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5, 97.9 HD2.
ESPN 97.5.